just in. Mount Sinai is getting taken over by the Egyptian government, and they're rearing the largest, oldest monastery in history.
And we have one of the craziest stories from the Bermuda Triangle. Some say it started it all.
G'day, mate. Listen, UFOs are coming and snatching your families up, and no one's going to believe you.
That was really good.
Thanks, Dad.
And this is all brought to you and powered by Sunday Cool. So watch this or listen.
He remembered!
That was so hot.
Whoa,
hey,
what?
Whoa, gross.
Why'd you say ew?
Doing great, Kyle, already. Everything you say. Did we great, Kyle, already? In the best way.
Do you know what Ada said when we pulled into your parents' house?
What?
They saw your dad's truck there, and June was like, Ada, Popsy's here. And Ada goes, oh, our precious grandpa. And I was like, you have to tell him that you said that. And she was like, it's a secret, I can't tell him. Our precious grandpa.
It's like Michael Scott. She's she's very talented, and she works very hard, but I would never say that to her face. It's like, why would you say that to her face?
What?
Yeah, I was saying you're good. Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Looks different than ours. Just want to be sure.
Stop. You're confusing me.
Fluttering fairies flying over fondue fountains.
Ooh. Tip of the tongue.
Dude, you got me fired up with that intro song.
In the...
Don't do it. You know how YouTube feels about that.
What? Why?
Stop.
Oh, that like cracked.
Man,
ow!
You should go back and rewatch that music video. It's kind of insane. It's just like morphing. You remember it?
Oh yeah,
yeah. And I remember it being like, "This is crazy."
Were you allowed to watch VHS Top 20 Countdown?
VHS, VH1, VH1
What's
Top 20 Countdown. That's a cassette tape.
Oh, were you allowed to watch that growing up? Or
grew up without cable.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I would watch football games, but me and my dad would either sit or stand in different parts of the living room with wires off antenna, and we would lock in to get signal to watch Dolphins games.
Right on.
Shout out Dan Marino.
The Top 20 Countdown before school was the best thing ever.
When you think of that, what's a like artist or song that just immediately pops in?
I wonder if ours is the same.
3, 2, 1.
Lips of an Angel.
No, that's not Lips of an Angel. I had so many because I just recently, like, I remember a song from like my 7th grade and I couldn't remember what it was, but I knew like the kind of the band name. I knew like I could picture the music video. So I spent like, I don't know, a whole day going back to ChatGPT and like remembering things, and I couldn't do it. And it took me like 48 hours and I finally remembered.
What is it?
It's a band called Silverchair, and they have a song, and it was like a one-time thing. They didn't have really any big hits like on the Top 20 Countdown, but it was like stuck out to me so much, and I'm like, how do I still remember this? I gotta remember.
Wow.
Lips of an Angel. Do you think there's a hidden meaning behind that?
Possibly.
Because,
honey, why are you calling me?
But no.
So late.
Bible accounts, the angels are always depicted as men.
Interesting.
Maybe he misses his father.
Oh. Man.
Daddy, why are you calling me so late?
Flagged.
I really can't play catch right now.
Well, we should rewrite that song. It's just about your dad. That'd be so funny.
We have covered that, haven't we? For a ninja song?
Yeah.
Oh, we have. Never mind.
It's iconic.
So good.
How you feeling, Lil?
Terrible. I feel awful.
What's wrong?
I'm sick. I've been sick.
Sinus. It has to be a sinus infection by now.
I don't think so. Your dad has been rocking this for 3 weeks.
Why don't you just get an antibiotic?
Because I'm scared, Josh.
Because she's scared, Josh.
Last time I had an antibiotic, I ended up in the ER with tummy troubles.
Mm. Did you eat any probiotic after antibiotic?
Did I eat any?
Yeah.
No. probiotic. Bacteria. No, I need to. And I'm pretty good about eating like diverse vegetables, and I eat yogurt, and I eat a lot of pickled red onion.
What happens if
That's
you leave?
Probiotic.
Yeah, I know.
What happens if you leave a sinus infection untreated?
Death.
Meningitis of the brain. I don't think it's true. I think you can kick it yourself.
There we go again. Men ruining everything.
Yeah. Why not womangitis?
Yeah.
Womaningitis. I don't know. It's confusing.
Is it meningitis? What is that?
Ew, no. No, 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 no.
That's not even a word.
That's not, no. That's some womanly thing.
Watch
it.
Just relax, everybody.
Speaking of womanly thing, do you want a song?
Sure.
Oh, you laugh.
I don't get why that was the segue.
Because women write wonderful music, Lil.
Listen, I've been thinking lately about how I'm perceived on this show as combative and problematic, and it's you guys making me this person.
I've been here for 5 minutes, I think the evidence speaks for itself.
Did we just offer you a song and you picked a fight?
No, if that's how you truly feel, I'm so sorry.
He's being genuine.
That's so nice. Thank you for saying sorry.
Of course. I never have we wanted you to be portrayed in a way that you aren't.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Never been our intent.
Let's start fresh.
I thought we have been starting fresh every episode.
You might as well call us the Freeze Brothers because we're so fresh right now.
Yeah. Golly, I'm so sorry. Let's have a good day.
What if this song was all about how terrible Lily is? That would have been the perfect segue. She's so mean.
There's a lot of craziness happening in this world today, lately, huh, Andy?
There sure is, Josh. It all feels so icky.
I mean, riots in the street? Greed is running rampant? People are dying.
And don't forget the new Fantastic Four movie was a box office flop.
Ugh. I almost forgot about that one.
I know. So what should we do about it?
Well, I guess there's only one thing we can do.
What's that, Josh?
Sing.
Is it all a dream or World War III? All these crazy things that we see on TV. Why all these bombs? Who's making dough? But since they're all lying, I guess we'll never know.
Did it work, Josh? Did our singing fix the world?
I'm sorry, Andy, but I don't think so.
Ugh. It's just all so overwhelmingly.
I know, but we gotta move on.
I guess you're right, but I'm just scared.
Me too, Andy. But there is one more thing we can do.
Like what?
Like go to Disney World, pretend we don't care. Watch the Housewives or the Prince of Bel-Air. Start a knitting group, work with our hands. Go on living with our heads stuck in the sand.
Whoa! Andy, you're not going to believe it.
What, Josh? What is it?
I just got the news. Our song, it's gone viral.
Really?
Yes, with over 3,000 hits.
Wow, that's incredible.
And look, Elon just cured world hunger.
Oh, and look, Trump is in a group hug with all the world leaders.
Our song, it saved the world.
Wow, I guess there really is power in music, huh?
You could say that again.
We really did it, we stopped World War III. Ended world hunger, set everyone free. Let in world peace, and they bought a zoo. So thank you, Matt Damon, for everything you do.
Wow, that was amazing!
We did it, folks. We did it! Hooray!
We saved all the children!
Very good, you guys. You sounded like Zoolander.
What's that?
Yeah, what is
Zoolander?
It?
Zoolander?
We bought a zoo. We said that.
Oh. Your voices sounded like Zoolander is what I meant.
I think you're misremembering. I don't know that movie. I mean, is that a movie?
The
a
Matt
song?
Matt Damon movie?
Mm-hmm. Matt Damon
was really
Zoolander.
Good.
I just bought a zoo. Scarlett Johansson, please help me. What are they going to do with all these zebras?
Yeah.
That would be great. I would just love if they just started parroting movies frame by frame. But it was just those characters, or like they chose characters and like, we're going to remake this movie, but it's going to be the same movie just with
that would be
outrageous
really
characters.
we're not far from being able to take the transcript and just swap a voice. Like, you could take the most serious movie and be like, make him sound like Zoolander.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take We Bought a Zoo and replace Scarlett Johansson and Matt Damon with Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of replacing things.
Yeah.
I'm actually excited about today's question. I think it's probably the easiest question, not even a joke. It's the easiest question we've ever had to answer.
Sick. Is it topical?
It's incredibly topical.
Great.
And I don't think we'll have any issues. I don't know. Anyway, we won't have any issues. This is not a joke. I'm being serious.
Okay.
Yeah, because we just want to get the question out of the way. Since it's an easy one, then just go on the show.
It's a real, like, this has happened a lot in the past. Mm-hmm. It could be happening now.
Sure.
I'll get on with it. Today's question is sent in by a viewer. Is cancel culture a good thing? What do you think, Lil? Pretty easy, I would say.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that cancel culture is a good thing.
Okay.
Wow. Fresh start. A fresh start is what you wanted.
Okay.
A clean slate, huh, Lil?
Is cancel culture a good thing? You said no, it's not a good thing. And obviously we're talking about Nazi culture.
Oh my gosh.
We're obviously talking about that. And you knew that, and yet...
I didn't know that.
You don't.
Not only the Nazi culture, Andy, Andrew.
Luca.
The racist culture.
Yeah.
The cannibalistic culture.
Papua New Guinea. Remember that?
No, we shouldn't cancel those things.
No, definitely not.
Carry on.
That's a human right, says Lily Hooper.
Carry on. Listen,
before you guys yell at a sick, debilitated mother... You guys might get canceled.
How dare you?
Relax.
So you're defending all these groups?
No, you did not ask clearly.
We couldn't be more clear.
Nor should I have to. It's pretty self-explanatory, Lil.
Read between the lines.
The culture, the cultures that are just dividing people, not uniting, nay, dividing.
Yes.
The Nazi culture.
Yes.
The racist culture.
Amen.
The cannibalistic culture.
Seek your teeth into that truth.
You said, nah.
That's not what I said.
That's what you said. That's literally what she said.
Out of her words. I mean, out of her mouth.
The words out of her mouth. The mouth out of her words. Please, Lil. Well, I guess you guys heard it here first. Lily... She doesn't want this world to unite.
She doesn't want a fresh start.
She thinks it's funny. She giggles at it. She's using her sickness as an excuse for her bad behavior. You can be angry, but you can't be mean.
What?
Sorry, everyone. Welcome to the show.
Oh, gosh.
Did I say ninja? I meant
butterfly.
The butterfly is no doubt one of God's creatures.
Just empty your mind.
You learn martial arts.
Ninjas attack!
Now that that's over with.
Now that's over. Let's talk about Jimmy Kimmel getting canceled.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Get him off my TV.
What did he actually say?
Do you want to pull up the quote?
Yeah, it's. It was insensitive.
Yeah.
What he has said way worse things, though.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of people have said worse things. There's a conspiracy afoot. There's always a conspiracy afoot. I think... I'll let you read the quote first.
I'm finding it. He said, "We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it."
Oh, that's different than what I thought he would have said.
Totally.
I thought he said something disparaging against Charlie Kirk, but he was talking about
the MAGA
questioning
group.
The motives.
And in a sense, you'd be like, okay, well, he's saying what other people are saying on the opposite side, too.
Yeah.
Both political parties are trying to blame each other for this.
Immediately after the assassination, that's all they were. I mean, not all. There was the majority of people online. It was them. I can't believe they did it. Whatever. And it was just like, we're falling into this trap of disunity.
We let's just take a minute to look at how paranoid we have become as a society. That the first thing we think of when something like this happens is there's some undercover bizarro.
It could have just been.
Yeah, it could have.
A crazy person.
Yeah.
It could have been.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. Feel that way, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I know. But Candace Owens, she's been covering this stuff. And this dude, not long after shooting Charlie Kirk, he was 15 minutes away at a Dairy Queen eating.
Wearing shorts.
No, wearing his jeans and a different shirt.
Oh.
Eating Dairy Queen.
What is this image I see of him walking around on campus in shorts?
He changed twice. So he walked in shorts, changed into his jeans, black shirt. And then after that, he put on his maroon shirt again, took off the long sleeve shirt, and then went to Dairy Queen to eat.
Well, if you don't want to get caught, that's where you go. The king. I mean, the queen.
The queen.
The royal, right. The royal court.
Yeah.
The Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this was orchestrated by Dairy Queen.
Ooh.
Get to
fire.
The bottom of it.
Canceled.
Unless we're sponsored by them, I'd be cool with that.
So that could...
Nah, I got beef with them.
That could show that he is actually a complete psychopath.
Yeah. I mean, that...
Or that he's just an innocent bystander.
More of that.
Or he's like, I'm totally going to get busted and I'm hungry. Probably going to be a while until I'm going to be able to eat.
This is probably the last time I'll get a blizzard.
Yeah.
A mint Oreo blizzard.
One last time, please. Thank you.
Terrible.
Yeah. The whole situation's crazy.
It's wild. And yeah. So a lot of people are saying Jimmy Kimmel's free speech is taken away, which is not true. It's part of cancel culture, for sure, if you want to label it that. But his freedom of speech, he was employed. The employer didn't like what he said, and they probably use this as an excuse to get him off the air. This probably isn't like the first like straw, and they're like, you know what? That's it. First and final straw, you're done. Like,
yeah.
They're probably looking for an excuse. I mean, there's something going on.
I am bothered by it, though. Like, I'm bothered by the idea of just shutting somebody down because they have some kind of idea. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
I think it's all part of the narrative. I think by doing this, especially in this heat of freedom of speech and like the UK freedom of speech stuff and like JD Vance going over to the UK at that European thing or whatever.
Trump went too.
No, but I'm saying like a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Basically grilling them about how they talk about freedom of speech, but no one's allowed to have freedom of speech. And this happens.
Yeah.
It's like all it's doing is creating more and more and more and more division.
Yeah. You know what? I can't get out of my head is on the TikToks. This girl went on, she recalls being part of the Soviet Union, and she's like, this looks really familiar. This is all really familiar. Just the way our culture is going.
It's just shifting that way.
I had a professor in college that said, I always thought he was a kook, but he said, democracy doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It's not going to work long term.
Because eventually...
It worked for Rome.
And they built it in one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, no, I'm wrong. Their empire fell.
I'll tell you something. I'm about a monarchy, though. Get us some celebrities that don't really know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Put them in power so that we can all just be distracted by their goings on.
Yeah. Who's your first round draft pick? Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay.
He's British. I mean, you immediately pick a person.
He's a U.S. citizen, isn't he? He lives in California.
Might have dual
citizenship.
Probably
has dual citizenship, yeah.
Yeah, who knows?
did you see Trump gifted King Charles a sword?
No.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, I've got a cool. thousand
Isn't
of
it
them.
Old, was it an old one or something? Or
yeah, it was like an old sword, I guess.
Interesting. I want to know the history behind that sword.
People are like, why did you give him a sword?
Yeah.
I'm like, that would be a dope gift.
Yeah. No matter how you feel about Trump, I do love how he just always tries to assert dominance everywhere he goes.
Oh yeah,
like the patting on the back of that one prince in like Saudi Arabia or something like that, and like no one's allowed to touch him. You shouldn't touch King Charles.
He said King Charles.
King Charles. King Charles, but like he was like tapping him on the elbow and stuff. Didn't bow like he's supposed to. I mean, like that's. I mean,
cool. I bow to no man.
Unless the Dairy Queen herself.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's weird.
It's super strange. I know people are like, this is old news, but too bad.
It gets weird because then you start thinking, like, what's the difference between freedom of speech and hate speech? Like, who has the right to define that?
Yeah.
You know?
But that's the problem. He's like, as soon as, like, you can't censor stuff, and that's why they've obviously you can't incite riots and things like that. You can't see fire in a building. But that's the fine line. Like, because if you say you're editing one thing, there's no, like, it's all so subjective. And so it just becomes this big old cancel culture. And like, that's just not okay.
And the problem is it's all coming down to what words are, and words change. The meaning of words, the severity of language changes. So it's like now we're handing it entirely over to lawyers to argue what is truth.
Yeah. I mean, you see it on YouTube. People, like, there'll be comedians or podcasts that say certain words that they don't like. And so they take it off. You're not taking those people to court.
Yeah.
It's a private company. You say you're willing to do this, and they have every right to take down a video, and it sucks when they do. But at the end of the day, it's not your company.
Yeah.
You are benefiting from them. And so it's that I see both sides of it. Yes, like, they have every right to fire them, but also Jimmy Kimmel said a whole lot worse and done a whole lot worse.
Yeah.
I mean, so that, like, that wasn't even a big jab, I feel like.
I don't agree with what was said, but I think it's kind of comical to be someone leaning politically a certain direction for a long time to say something that goes along with, you know, the pool of thought he has historically come from, and then for them to switch and be like, we don't like it anymore.
Yeah.
He's like, I mean, you pay me a huge salary for being this guy. Like, what do you mean? Why am I in trouble now?
Yeah, literally.
I
mean,
do you see the clip that he played on Donald Trump right after his quote of Charlie Kirk?
Yeah.
And like, I agree with his stance on that, because it's like, it was super, I get it, Trump's a busy guy. But
I wonder,
like,
if that was doctored at all.
I don't think it was. I think I watched the actual clip of itself, and it just looks like it's just, blows it off and goes. And it's like, even if you don't care, pretend you do for a second.
Immediately change the subject.
Yeah. It's like, we got big trucks over here. We're going to bring it in. West Wing is going to be great. Like,
Maybe he really didn't hear him, though.
And that's the thing. We don't know what's going on in his mind. He's a busy guy. He doesn't care about a lot of stuff.
Just suffered a stroke.
That's why I think he has Bell's palsy. Yeah.
That, I'm not saying nothing about that, but like, his face during that ceremony was crazy. It looked like he was asleep.
For entertainment purposes only.
Yeah.
It's a wild world we're living in right now.
Speaking of wild world, it was like three days after the Charlie Kirk thing, which is terrible. And we talked about it on our live, so like, if you want to go back.
Yeah, we go in depth with all the details on it and how we felt about it. So yeah, go back on our live from a couple weeks ago.
Praying for his family and all those who even witnessed it.
Oh, dude, yes. Yeah.
I can't imagine the trauma.
Yeah, terrible, terrible. But like 2 or 3 days after that, I was driving to work. You guys already know it. But there's this old man walking on just a family street right outside my neighborhood, backpack, carrying a strap. I mean, like, decked out AR-15.
Yeah.
Dude, Brooke saw him yesterday in Mount Dora.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Same guy.
Crazy.
This is why, here's a hot take, ready? I'm not going to pretend to be the most educated person on this subject, but like, we need to bring back publicly funded asylums. Not like where they torture people, but like where they take care of people that can't be out, that families don't have the money to support.
It's all, I guarantee you, this dude, it's all a statement, because the Florida just passed that open carry thing.
Yeah. So it's like a political demonstration. Yeah.
You see it all on YouTube. I've scrolled and gotten sucked into that rabbit hole of people that just will record, they'll put a GoPro on themselves and walk around with these huge guns. And it's like, they just want to get a reaction out of people. Yeah. They want the police to do something illegal so they can sue the city and prove that, hey, what I was doing was completely within my right. And it's like, yes, we get that. Everyone has been hearing all these stuff. And like, for people in Florida, we're all hearing these new laws. They've done a lot of like PSAs about it. We're aware of it. You don't got to throw it in our face. And like, I don't know. It seems weird. I don't feel safe, though.
Don't carry around an AR-15 rifle or just a rifle in public.
Around people's homes and stuff. And it's like, yeah, people are going to call the police because they don't know. We're living in a world where, I assume you are a sane person just exercising your Second Amendment right. Also, the world we live in, that there's other thoughts in my mind that this guy could be a psycho. And if I don't call it in, then am I to blame?
Yeah.
Like, I would live with that guilt for the rest of my life. Because imagine all those people who saw something and didn't say something.
I called the cops.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple Florida sheriff's offices put out, I think, responsible and well well-versed, well-spoken things about it. Basically what they're saying is they're like, yes, you can open carry now, or it's about to be for clarity. I forget the date when it switches.
By this time, it's already.
Okay, okay. So they're like, you can, but they're like, just remember, if you're open carrying, now you're first target. They're like, so now it's legal, and I support Second Amendment, but consider the fact that you're opening up yourself as a target for theft. So they were like, you know, even though I can, mine's still concealed. Just kind of like a reminder, like, we love that you can protect yourself, protect your own property, but maybe make sure that's the whole reason you're doing it.
Yeah.
So.
This weird world we're living in.
I know. Can we just buy a commune out in the middle of nowhere?
Like Mount Sinai?
I'm going to go to Bali. That's it.
Go into the desert, like the Desert Fathers, where they're at that monastery, Mount Sinai, that's being taken over right now.
Yeah.
Have you heard about this?
No. Yes. I mean, I'm following along. I just started the Desert Fathers book last night, though.
Hey,
so
money.
I'm trying to.
Very cool.
And I need that money.
Mount Sinai. Did you guys hear what's happening with Mount Sinai?
Not one bit.
No.
Crazy. Okay. All right. So St. Catherine's Monastery is one of the oldest continuously operated Christian monasteries in the world, founded in the 6th century, and it's also a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Course.
What is that?
Remember we talked about the Göbekli Tepe.
Okay, got it.
Like all these places, they're UNESCO World Heritage Sites.
Got it. Okay.
Which I think, in the broad terms, it's a good thing, right?
Right.
It protects it. Mm-hmm. It's just weird that it's like this one world, whatever.
Yeah.
And
who actually owns it?
Yeah, but this monastery has its own ancient library, manuscripts, religious significance in lands, gardens, vineyards, chapels. That have been used for by monks for centuries. Like, it's at the base of Mount Sinai.
Cool.
On May 28th, 2025, the Egyptian Court of Appeals issued a decision concerning 71 parcels of land associated with the monastery. So basically, the government of Egypt has now taken over the land surrounding the monastery, even land that the monastery owns, and they're building malls, centers. They even, so it's a large-scale development plan called the Great Transfiguration Project.
Pardon?
Sounds like heresy to me.
This includes luxury hotels, villas, shopping areas, infrastructure, visitor centers, possibly cable cars, etc., built around Mount Sinai.
Wait, how does this work with like the historic significance of the site?
That's the battle right now, because it's like,
what is,
there's some like legal stuff that Egypt's like, well, this hasn't happened, so we're actually claiming this land now.
What is Zahi Hawass's actual affiliation with this project?
I don't think anything.
Nothing at all.
No, he's just the antiquities guy.
Is that his title?
Okay. Yeah.
So he wouldn't have anything to do with,
not that I'm aware of,
the historic sites in Egypt.
Now, does the World Economic Forum
might
own this land as like this place as well? Like, you know how they do with the Göbekli Tepe? Like,
I don't.
Are they overall?
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't. It's the UNESCO, which I don't know if that's associated with the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, interesting.
How
can they do that?
Well, this is
so they're just forcing it. Like they're taking it over.
Yeah, and they've already, they've removed a ton of historic stuff around, demolished it.
No.
And they relocated graves around this monastery for car parking lots.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Awful.
And so Greece right now
is miffed.
They're back and forth with Egypt. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So the Orthodox Church is like all up in arms. Like, we can't just, this is like, since the 6th century, this has been here. And they're just like, we're going to build a mall.
You know what says transfiguration to me? Hotels.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. That's nuts. Like, that's not okay. And I think that, like, the fact that they're already doing it, like, proves that, like, one, it's too late. Even if they back down now, it's like, you've ruined it. And also, I wouldn't want to stay in one of those hotels or park my car anywhere near that. It's like, that's bad juju.
Well, I will say, there's a guy on Blurry Creatures a couple months back who full-on believes that that Mount Sinai that everyone thinks is Mount Sinai is not the actual Mount Sinai.
Right. Interesting.
Really? Yeah.
How can they make that mistake?
I think just it's, how do you explain it? The Mount Sinai that they think is Mount Sinai is viewed as a holy mountain with the Muslims as well. Like Muslims, Christians, obviously, and Jews, obviously. But I think it's just been passed down like, oh, this is the mountain.
Yeah.
But he like went to this other mountain that is speculated that it could have been Mount Sinai. And he found like petroglyphs and stuff that like look like they match up with stories from Exodus.
Yeah.
Really fascinating stuff. And even this whole like altar thing. It was really cool. You guys should go listen to that episode.
A decoy mountain. Nice.
Yeah.
Isn't it kind of like based on historic record of proximity to cities? Like,
I think so.
He was asserting that another mountain made more sense with other historic documents.
Yeah. He talked about like Elijah. There's like one, or I think it's like Elijah like walked from here to there and it took this long.
Yeah.
It would make sense for this other mountain, not the one that everyone's calling Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
Regardless, there's a monastery there that's been there since the 6th century.
And graves. And just history.
Yeah.
And you're putting up luxury hotels.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it just reminds me of the meme of like people when they take really pretty pictures of nature and like, and it's like, man, how cool would it be just to have a Walmart right there? And it's like, I don't know, man. It's crazy. That's so sad. Like, cause that's kind of just the beautiful part of it. And just reading the Desert Fathers, like just how like that refuge that they have, like that is their belonging. Like that's their home.
Yeah.
And so it's just like to take that away just because you want to profit is crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy, crazy. Speaking of also being crazy, I think we have not mentioned on the podcast, but World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
Klaus Schwab got the boot a while ago.
Yeah, that was the Pope thing. That was the...
Yeah, he like was accused of not good things.
Yeah, and then we had the Peter guy come in.
Yeah, but now they have a new interim co-chair.
Okay.
Oh, which yeah, I remember
is
this.
It is Larry Fink, who is the CEO of BlackRock.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good idea.
That's nuts.
That's crazy.
How does this continue to happen? That's crazy town.
If this was like a show, you'd be like,
also, but it's
this
like
is a show.
Yeah, but it's like also like too predictable. Like,
I know.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like, of course that's gonna happen. Like, can we have some twists here? It's like obviously, like we got to just think worst case scenario. I don't know. Someone from BlackRock.
Yeah. The owner of BlackRock.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. If you would have asked me, who do you think? I probably would have said that. Literally. Yeah. That's nuts.
But yeah.
So what did he do before? Do you know? Have you done a deep dive on Larry Fink?
I mean, he started BlackRock.
He's a founder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to keep up. That's crazy.
Someone said of like how I saw this thing where how BlackRock manipulates the just everything.
Yeah.
And so like BlackRock's known for going in and buying middle class homes or whatever, basically dictating the market.
Right.
And they said that they'll go in. And they'll purchase, I think this is actually a thing, they purchased like 30,000, or they purchased a couple thousand homes at like $300,000. Then they go in and sell 7 of those homes for $700,000, or they sell them to themselves.
Yeah, dude.
At $700,000 to
throw
manipulate
off
the market.
And that's who just got, you know. Nobody's talking about it on the news because they don't want to have another Luigi Maggiano.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But they got the lady that was in charge of that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's. I mean, I'm looking up right now.
That's a crazy, because BlackRock owns basically all
owns
networks.
Everything. Which is like why we talked about, I mean, like in our forefathers are like, no monopolies.
Yeah.
It's happening.
Worldwide now. Like it's, yeah. So it says BlackRock is the largest money management firm in the world with more than $10 trillion in assets under management. $10 trillion.
There's a guy on TikTok, and I need to find his name because he's really doing some incredible work. But what he does is he takes pictures of an aisle at like Target or something like that.
Yeah.
And he'll section off which brands are owned by BlackRock. And it's like the entire shampoo aisle is owned by BlackRock. Ooh, these people have a unique interest in keeping you unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they profit from it.
Yes.
I mean,
so like it's like, stop buying stuff from Target, I guess. I love Target. I don't know, but just be a conscious shopper and like. Ugh.
But that's like it's almost impossible. Like
it
I was
is.
Like we were looking at the like you know like the added sugar taking out like doing a no added sugar diet.
Yeah.
And the guy I was looking at on can't remember his name, but he was on YouTube and they just did it for a month and it's like it's almost impossible.
I had friends that did that. It was a group of 3 guys growing up. They all did that. They were Seventh-day Adventists, so they were like really concerned about their health, which is a pillar of their thing. they were doing faith. No added sugar.
The thing is faith.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah. Anyway, I'm not gonna say what I was gonna say. But the one guy was eating like Captain Crunch one day when we went over there, and it's like, dude, that is sugar.
All sugar.
He's like, there's no added sugar. I'm like, it's because it is sugar.
There's no added sugar.
That's baloney.
It's because it's literally just sugar.
It's amazing of how sweet it tastes with no sugar. Dude, in it.
I got a Captain Crunch tree in my backyard, dude. Let's go pick some. That's crazy. I mean, that's just, it's just getting wilder and wilder. And like they are, yeah, like you said, they're monopolizing it. And it's like everyone has, it's just a select few people that are just running this whole thing.
Well, think about even like, you look at how fast science is advancing, right? Like on a global scale, the amount of money, the amount of resources that just exist in like medical science. But the fact that all of these companies aren't curing anything, they're only creating systems where diseases can be regulated with basically what we would call a subscription.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we have Larry Fink, mm-hmm. who runs BlackRock, and then we have the other guy in charge of the Economic Forum is Peter Brabeck.
Yeah, yeah. Who's that's the guy that climbed
the old
mountain.
Nestle guy, the mountain guy.
The mountain guy.
Oh, you know, ran Nestle for a while.
It's weird.
But Nestle never did anything wrong. And they don't add sugar as well.
No.
You'd be like, well, what's the big deal? These guys are successful businessmen. That's the point.
Yes.
They have so much influence on the United Nations. And like their fingertips are everywhere.
Everywhere, dude.
Well,
everywhere.
They want, it's like clear that they don't care about hurting us.
No.
That's the problem. Yeah. And like, as Christians, are we surprised?
Nope.
No.
I am.
That's the thing. I keep.
Christ says, "You will not be persecuted."
That's true, and we will never face trials or temptations.
He said, "You guys are going to live in luxury homes.
Yes,
you're going to have your health
on monastery grounds.
On monastery, you're going to be so fine. You're going to be better than everyone else,
guys. You have so much money, you're not going to even know what to do with it.
And when you tithe this much, you get this much back.
Yeah,
imagine if you tithe so much, you can get to a just a different level of heaven. This is possible for you.
He said, none of that.
You know what I was talking to my girlfriends about, though? It's really fun talking to my group of girlfriends who Kelsey Janoon is a part of it. But Jamie was asking, she's like, they're like so nut verse. They really try to stay out of it. But she's
which
like,
is probably smart.
She's like, what would the government have to gain from making us not able to have babies? Because she's asking about the infertility rates in the nation. And I'm like, let me tell you.
How much time you got?
I'm like, have you heard of the Great Reset? You know, like, go crazy. And I was talking to them about the World Economic Forum. And I'll never forget when, I think Josh and I were recently married or dating or something, when they did that, it was like the welcoming ceremony of their annual meeting or something with all these like celebrities. And it was the most demonic thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, so pagan, chanting, scary animal masks. It looks like Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, how is that productive? Like, you don't think there's something deeper to that?
Yeah, you're like, everybody's watching this, and you're like, this is inherently evil.
But
like,
they're just a bunch of businessmen. They're just playing dress up.
Oh, they're just really successful. It's art.
Yeah, come on. Have you ever heard of art?
Yeah.
Do you know what Father Josiah said on that Tucker thing?
Huh. It was really good.
He said, people are saying that America is just full of pagans. And he says, that is an insult to pagans. He said, pagans actually believed in something.
Yeah.
And he said, they had their own set of morals to please their gods.
Yeah, they appealed to a higher power.
They appealed to higher power. He says,
yeah.
So referring to what is happening in America as a bunch of paganism is an insult to pagans.
Yeah.
That's like, heavy.
Yeah. He's whoa. Like, America is all about like making yourself a god. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We got to just start like telling dope stories of like, and I have one, but of people from like church history, just super rad stories. So there's this guy. Was that a good transition?
We should start telling stories about like
I have one. No, this is insane. This dude was burned alive.
Cool.
Rome was overthrowing this pope, this church, and this dude handled the finances. They demanded that he turn over the church's money to them, and he refused, and so they burnt him alive. And most, you typically like their depictions were like, you know, they didn't even cry out, like God took their pain. You hear stories of that, or it's like a brutal thing and like he was a martyr. This dude literally, it's documented, cried out. He said, I'm done on this side, turn me over.
That was what he yelled out burnt alive.
Wow. I have a story. I don't know if I told this on the show, but this was another one that was talked about. Father Josiah.
Okay.
He's like my new celebrity. But he was I guess in their faith, they like dedicate their children to like specific saints or something like that. They're like a patron saint is what they call it. And his eldest daughter was named after a saint who was martyred. And they back in her culture and time, they would martyr you by goring you with a hog. Like a boar. Do hogs have horns?
Yeah. Not horns, they have tusks.
Whatever. And she is in this arena. She's wearing like her hair is up and she's like all game face. Gores her, knocks her over, her hairpin flies out, her hair's all over the place. She stands up, fixes her hair, and she's like, come get me.
No, the pics are, what happened, she was hit.
Yeah.
Cut her open. She fell. Her hairpin fell out and started charging her again. And she goes, wait. It stopped. She picked up. She did her hair. She said, now you can finish it.
Crazy.
That's wild.
Can you obviously, golly, as Christians, like martyr, to become a martyr is like you.
The highest honor.
The highest honor in, you know, God's heavenly court. And you're like, could you do that? Could you face death that way? I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's written down in somewhere. I don't really know. But there's apparently this story of Peter's wife. I shared it with you.
I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. And how she was being taken away from him to be crucified or burned alive. And he just kept shouting at her, remember Christ.
Yes.
Remember Christ. And it's like, what a dope way to go out. It's like, you know, your wife's being taken. There's nothing you can do. But it's like pushing her toward Christ. Golly, dude, it wrecks me. Mm.
I got those details kind of wrong. It was St. Lawrence, a deacon in Rome during the 3rd century under Pope Sixtus II, 258 AD.
There was a similar story to that I read last night. I don't know if she's saint or martyr, Anastasia of Rome.
Mm.
And basically she lived in a Roman family. Her father was a pagan. Her mother was a Christian. Mother died. The father's super abusive to Anastasia, sold her, or basically pawned her off to a Roman senator, this old Roman senator to be married. This dude is also pagan. And she was so afraid of this. And like, she prayed that she would remain virtuous. And one of the miracles is that she was never touched.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
You know, that anytime the senator would try to
advance
on her, it was either Michael or Gabriel would come and interfere.
Wow.
What she did is she would take all her riches and stuff and go and minister to the Christians in prison in secret. And then the husband senator found out and just basically locked her in the room, tortured her, beat her, all this stuff. And then someone prophesied that senator was going to die. He ended up dying, drowning. Like, he was on a ship and he drowned.
Yeah.
She was freed. And so she took all of her inheritance and started going from place to place, country to country in the Roman Empire, helping Christians, was caught, tortured. And they're basically like, give up where all these other Christians are. She wouldn't. And so the emperor decided to burn her alive. And they said that her body, she died, but her body remained unburnt.
Wow.
My goodness, dude.
Yeah.
Untouched.
Yeah.
Jeez.
There's so many cool stories.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah.
It makes me want to pick up the Voice of the Martyrs book.
Yeah.
Again.
And start, because I remember reading through that in high school and I was like, this is just brutal, dude. It's so encouraging. Like, just to like, what kind of faith do we have? You know, like sometimes we just so easily just abandon or turn our back on our faith. Just because we get uncomfortable or we get tired, and it's like, it's got to be real. I love the point in the Desert Fathers where it's like, you know, your prayer life is a continue. It's like, he's like, it's not just you talking. It's a constantly turning your face toward God throughout your daily life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, praying
and it's like, yeah, like you're praying is your work that you're doing, like, and obviously having him in the front of your mind constantly.
Yeah.
It's great.
Speaking of praying for things. Did you guys hear about that alien meteorite in Panama?
No.
No?
Golly, I'm out of the loop.
Well, I'll fill you in the loop.
Right after this ad, don't go anywhere!
Nice. Wow, you really got me.
We are in the throes of fall.
Yes, the Mitchell of it. And you feel the breeze.
Yes, I feel the cold shiver down my spine.
Blowing across my cheeks in the crisp air of fall.
I wish I had a super soft hoodie.
Oh, you do?
I do. Something that could be customizable and I would put my logo upon.
Shut up, I know exactly the place.
What thou you shall say to me?
Sadakulakum.
Where we print the softest hoodies, crew necks, t-shirts, long sleeve t-shirts, all fully customizable with your image or with an in-house artist creating your design, printed with water-based ink, turned around in 72 hours. That's the Sunday cool I'm talking about, Annie. That's the one.
Perfect. I love it.
Good. SundayCool.com.
Go now.
You know, Lily gets like...
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Probably 13,000 steps a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I figured out why.
Why?
It takes little steps.
So it's equivalent to like 5,000 regular steps?
Why aren't you doing the thing with us?
Because I don't want to carry my phone. If it hooked up to my Fitbit, then... Oh, and I'd whoop all you guys. Like, I get like 15,000 steps a day.
Andrew's like 50 miles ahead of me.
That's nuts.
It's killing it.
If this is your little baby, you guys just be your boys and
I'm literally gonna put this phone in the back pocket of my daughter just to catch
all day
up.
Long.
Apple Watch. Our girls probably have like 50,000 steps a day.
And I'm gonna need you to wear my Apple Watch all day today.
If you're picking on me, I'm gonna tell a story. So last night
I forgot about that.
Last night in the middle of the night. You don't have all the context either, which is hilarious.
Oh.
So the girls come in and they sleep on their little Japanese floor mat when they get scared at our room.
Yeah.
And one of them wakes up. Jane usually starts screaming if the blankets are off of her. Mm-hmm. She just needs somebody to put it back on. She's like half asleep. And she's like, I hear her go, Mom! You know, whatever. And I get up to go put the blanket on her. And Josh gets woken up and he's like, I gotta go pee, okay? But I had finished putting the blanket on her. I was heading to the bathroom. And Josh cuts in front of me to go to the bathroom because he doesn't even notice that I'm there.
Yeah, I thought you were laying down.
And so I'm standing waiting for him to be done. It's the longest Austin Powers pee in the world. And I'm just standing there and I'm eventually just like lean my head on the bed and he comes out when he's finished and I stand up to go to the bathroom. He yells a profanity, obviously, and jumps into a crouch like this. The biggest scream.
It was
so funny.
It was so scary. I thought she was asleep.
Yeah.
I pee. I come out, and our room's pitch black except her silhouette from the window.
Yeah.
And she's just standing like this.
Oh, my goodness.
It was beep, beep, beep. It scared me so
It was
bad.
More like beep, beep. And I was like just all night thinking on why was that what you thought to say if I was a burglar?
I don't know. But I went, ah!
Come at me. So I'm out of radio. I'm a gun.
So scary.
Dude, I got woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning last night because our neighbor's car alarm was going off.
Oh, no.
And it was so loud. And
that's
I'm just
annoying.
How long did it take him to shut it off?
Oh, it was like 3 minutes. It was crazy. And she's like, yeah, that's it. I'm calling him. Like, it's nuts.
No one else is nuts. Question, Lily, with a question of a friend of mine. Was it? Did you go?
I think so. I didn't know what was happening. I was in the middle of like a breath.
Okay. Would you rather be able to eat anything that you want and it give you perfect and adequate nutrition or be able to sleep 1 hour per night and be completely rested and mentally healthy?
1 hour.
Eat,
dude. I love to grub. I'm hungry right now.
And I love to sleep.
I do. I love to sleep too. Yeah.
100%. Easiest question ever.
Definitely easy.
Because you can just eat whatever you want, and that means you're not going to get overweight, right?
Or you'll get healthy.
Yes!
Yeah.
Just buffalo wings every day, dude?
Dude, I'm so hungry. Can we order some?
Yeah, but think about how much the food you want to eat costs.
I don't care.
I don't care, dude.
I mean, it's the food I eat now that's making me unhealthy
and
fat.
You can buy
the
cheapest stuff. You could buy, like
Doritos.
Doritos. You could buy a cheeseburger from McDonald's.
This could take away your lactose intolerance.
And it's like eating a head of broccoli.
Yeah, I'm done. Like, I've
head of broccoli?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That's why Andrew wasn't interested in the food thing, because he's so limited already.
I'm just exhausted right now. That's happening.
Yeah, I would definitely do the eating thing. For sure.
And who wants to eat something right now?
Yeah.
Lily's like, me?
Soon.
I've woken up the last few mornings at like 5 a.m. and it's like now I'm stuck in this cycle. So I would love to not sleep. Think about how much more you could get done if you only slept for an hour.
I'm not trying to get that much stuff done, though.
Yeah, it's the only time I let myself rest.
Because I can dream.
I don't dream.
I had crazy dreams. Dude, I had a dream about a UFO last night that it was so real that I saw it, and it literally saw me, and it was like this weird, I don't know, like it was like a flat circular thing, but it was like a pyramid almost shaped. And it literally was floating around, and we just kept looking at it. And I got my phone out. I was like, I can't believe I have my phone out right now. And I filmed it, and then it stopped, and I could feel it looking at me. It was so scary, dude.
That's
and I literally,
crazy.
It's one of those dreams where you're just like, I can't wait to show this like to Josh and to everyone and get on the pot. Like, this is going to be nuts. And I woke up like, dang it.
What if you actually had a clip in your phone?
Dude, that would be so scary.
That would be terrifying.
Your feet are just like wet. Like,
what happened?
Dude, do you see the song, Can You Take Me High?
Yeah.
Do you hear how that was written?
Mm-mm.
Bro, he taught himself to lucid dream to get rid of a nightmare.
Oh,
that's literally how it was written, and did it successfully. Like,
I
he
can
goes,
do that.
He goes into deep. What?
You can like choose.
I can wake myself up out of a nightmare.
Oh, like actually, and then be awake?
Yes.
But you can't be in control of your dreams.
No. Is that different?
That would be like lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
Kelsey like you're do that. Fully in control of your dreams.
Mm. Kelsey can do that?
Yeah. I don't know how she does it.
She's mentally strong.
She's a witch.
I wonder what it does mean that I don't remember dreams if I dream at all.
Maybe that's where you're living out your trauma.
Oh.
Wow. Dang, just dark right off the bat.
Hey, we're here because we love you.
Dang.
We all have something to say. Whether, I think Josh, you want to read your letter?
Andrew, hit us with that beat.
Oh,
Andrew has trauma.
Trauma now.
Trauma then.
He's got a reel.
Who hurt you?
Tell me now.
Show the reel.
Distract yourself.
Run.
Sleep.
I get claustrophobic, and this, it's like pretty minor, but speaking of trauma, this would definitively. This would be something you got to talk to a therapist about.
Oh, I see this.
Oh,
dude, it gets me so.
Have you seen this, Andy?
No.
All right, ready? 3, 2, 1.
This is the dumbest thing. What is he doing?
Yeah, I definitely should have.
Dude, what are you doing? Oh, my goodness.
So this dude's trying to slide backwards down a kid's thing. And you see his leg, like, panic.
Bro?
I would freak
How do you get out of that?
You can't.
Oh. I mean, someone had to
dude, that literally,
you out.
It literally panics me, bro.
I know.
Oh.
Dude, I immediately have to start going.
Breathe, you're not
dead.
And then you feel the water.
Yeah, dude. I for sure am claustrophobic. We're just being stuck anywhere.
Yeah.
Like on a Ferris wheel where you're like in the sky. You're not closed in on anything, but like you're stuck. And
yeah.
I was freaking out.
Even if you get stuck in a social situation, you freak out.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you fine on cruises?
Not anymore.
No.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Yeah, it's a big trauma.
Yeah. Remember all my night terrors with that?
I can't remember, I don't think.
Where I kept on, like, it was in Tennessee with the UFO incident.
Uh huh.
And, like, I was having night terrors still where I would, like, wake up thinking I was on the cruise ship trying to find Ada because I thought she was going to jump overboard.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine, though.
No, I'm fine with it. I'm for sure. Yeah.
All right. This is a crazy, and let me just start off with this. If this is fake, well done, sir.
But the story behind this guy on TikTok, his name is Kin, K-I-N, Panama.
Okay.
That's not a real name.
Cool name.
No, it's just his username.
Oh.
It's in Panama.
Good detective work, though.
So he was out in this field because he saw like a meteor come down.
Yeah.
He runs over. There's a crater. It's smoking. He digs through it, and he finds this little silver meteor-looking thing and takes it home with him. And just has been observing it for probably the past month or so.
This is Joe Dirt. This is literally the plot of Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
Really?
But you'll see in these, there's a lot of videos that I sent, but basically I'm going to explain it first. It looks like some people said it looks like a little or a potato. Mm-hmm. Like you just spray painted a potato.
Yeah.
But you can hear them in some of the videos. It's clinking around on the glass like it's metal.
Yeah.
And he does stuff like observing like what it interacts with. So he like put a leaf on it and it just burnt through the leaf.
What?
But he can touch it.
Weird.
What's it doing to
this?
His
is
body
just a then? Normal dude that found this?
Apparently.
Okay.
Because you go look at his past videos, nothing like this.
Yeah.
It's just a dude in Panama doing his thing.
Sure.
And then this thing, one day he wakes up in this, he has it in this glass petri dish kind of thing. It's growing something. And it's moving. And so these videos shows the progression, and it's growing and growing and growing. It looks like Venom from Spider-Man. Really? And so now he has it in like a deep freezer, and it's like this big growing.
It's still growing in the freezer?
Yeah. So
it's going to keep growing. It's going to throw off the Earth's tilt.
That's the first one, right?
Okay.
He went back to the crash site. And the ground around the crash site, like some of the soil was glowing.
It does look like a potato.
It does look like a potato. All right, go to the next one.
Okay. He's touching it with a stick.
Skip forward a little bit and where he grabs the leaf. See it?
Yeah.
Puts the leaf on it. It burns through the leaf.
What in the world?
You seeing it?
Yeah.
All right, go to the next one. This is a day or a couple days after.
What the heck?
Ew! What in the world, dude? That is seriously Venom.
So you saw the little tentacle thing move?
He's taping it up. He's like, you are not getting out. That's crazy.
All right, go to the next one. It's even bigger.
My gosh!
Moving again. If this is fake, well done.
If this
is real, this is the scariest thing.
It has to be fake because why wouldn't he be in a lab right now?
I don't know.
By the government.
I mean, let's just keep an eye on his.
All right, go to the next one. This is where it's in his deep freezer.
What,
dude,
is happening?
You see it moving.
Yeah, dude, that's nightmarish. Oh, my goodness. I don't like this, bro.
If you guys are just listening to this, you should go watch it on Spotify or YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The next one, he actually has it in a safe. I think this is actually where he has it now.
Dude, this keeps getting darker and darker. Oh, how is he grabbing this thing and moving it? Oh, my goodness, bro. This is out of a sci-fi movie.
I know. But I'm telling you, go look at his TikTok. Nothing before this ever. There was no like
weird. Yeah.
It was just like him like filming a dog.
Wait, where did he grab it?
No, he didn't grab it. I'm just saying like he had to have one point.
Oh, yeah.
Like picked it up and put it in there.
Yeah. Dude, that is scary. Also, like, could you imagine if this was like a movie's marketing strategy?
That's what Taylor said.
Really?
Yeah.
That's genius.
I mean,
that would be a genius move, and then it's like coming soon or something like that.
It might be.
I mean, who knows?
That's the only reason why, the government hasn't gotten a hold of it, because if it was real, this guy wouldn't be allowed to post this stuff, I think.
I mean, was it going like big time viral? Like, was there a lot of people viewing it or no?
I would say it's like kind of just like a cult following now.
Really?
I think one of them has like 1 million views or something,
but
nothing like crazy.
You know what would be terrible is if like certain molds became like bleach resistant and sentient, and this is just a big old thing of mold.
Yeah, that would be terrifying.
We're back to mold.
But shout out to Isaiah, because he's like, are you going to talk about the Panama alien thing?
No.
I said, I completely forgot
so what
about
do you,
that.
What do you do if you find that?
What do I
we
do?
We saw one outside your house kind of like that, right?
Yeah.
We've been watering it and feeding it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
I'm not posting anything about it.
You guys saw the video of that. It was either an asteroid or a UFO in China where it got shot with a rocket.
I scrolled past it. Once again, I don't know why I just keep scrolling past these things that are like are apparently a pretty big deal, but I'm like, nah, not as interesting.
Yeah. Blurry posted about it, too. I just sent it.
So it wasn't a missile. It wasn't
no,
a
it was
plane
something,
or something
flying, and then it got shot by a missile, supposedly.
Okay, I'm watching it.
And there's other angles. This is the only angle I could find, just quick.
Okay, so the big red flare, that's the missile.
No, that's the UFO or asteroid.
Really?
Moving slow.
Yeah, why shoot it down? Unless it's something that is an, like, I mean, if it's an asteroid or something, it's like, that's pretty quick movement.
Or what if it was just another missile?
Yeah.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, but people are saying it's a UFO. I don't know. Nope. I've never seen a UFO like that.
No, me either. And like that's, I mean, you can even see like the trail that it's leaving, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Very strange. A lot of stuff weird happening, man. And that one they posted that had like the glowing in the mountains.
That's the one that I thought we were going to talk
about. The
Machu
Picchu?
Is that where that is?
Yeah. Blurry posted about it. That was a weird thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super weird. Like there's like this glowing disc orb in hovering above Machu Picchu. Weird.
They're coming.
Let's talk about the U.S. congressional hearing of UAPs real quick.
Okay.
So George Knapp gave a testimony.
Yeah.
George Knapp, he's been basically an investigative journalist in the UFO realm for longer than we've been alive. Mm-hmm. Like 40 plus years, maybe. He's interviewed everyone. I think he was actually the first one to break Bob Lazar's story.
Okay.
So he's cool. Like in it.
Yeah.
But he was speaking with Congress.
He's got a military background, right?
No.
No?
Just journalists.
Okay.
But George Knapp presented compelling information from Soviet-era documents he had obtained in the 1990s. His key points included the Soviet Union launched what appears to be the largest known UFO investigation in world history, spanning approximately from 1978 to 1988. The program collected thousands of reports covering sightings and orbs, anomalous aerial objects, and more, funneled all findings to a central Soviet Ministry of Defense, whatever. But he recounted 40 engagements where the Soviet MiG fighters attempted to intercept UFOs. In three of those close encounters, the MiGs reportedly crashed. Two pilots died after firing on unknown objects. Subsequently, Soviet decrees warned pilots to avoid such engagements altogether. One one alarming incident occurred in October 1982 at a Ukrainian ICBM missile base. This is crazy. A UFO hovered over the launch site for about 4 hours, then split apart, merged, performed incredible maneuvers, and suddenly the missile launch control systems activated, displaying correct launch codes and firing up. Operators were unable to shut the systems down. Then just as abruptly, the UFO vanished, the missiles powered down. The Soviets concluded this was effectively a message from the UFOs.
Bro. Dude. That's crazy.
Where was it aimed? I wonder.
I don't know, but
that'd
it like
interesting.
There, yeah. Go ahead, Andy.
Literally flew over and just all the codes for the missiles just went.
Yeah. To me it's interesting, like, cause we just saw that like the pulling apart, like it coming apart and then coming back together. That's literally what we saw with that one footage that we got recently in the Congress. Yeah, like how it hit the Hellfire missile and then it came apart, but then they continued to move.
Hank Green has a opinion on what that video was.
What do you say?
He said it was a weather balloon.
I'm mad at Hank Green. I'm not interested in anything he has to say.
What?
Did you see his video dogging knitting? He said knitting is just a clever invention by housewives, basically.
Whoa.
Hank Green? Hank Green?
What are you doing?
If he knows anything about science and coding, literally coding, the inventor of coding, Ada Lovelace, was a proficient knitter. Mm. It was knitting that made coding.
Well, we got beef with Hank Green now?
Yeah, dude.
Let's have a
the
boxing
knitting
match.
Community surely does.
Boxing Hank- match. Hank Green, Lily Hooper for charity.
Hank Green's like, I'm sorry, guys, but this is a weather balloon. He said, when it, he says, it looks like it's moving fast, but that's because the drone is moving fast. He said, the zoomed out thing, it's, it looks like it's moving much slower. When the Hellfire missile hits it, and people saying it bounced off of it, he said, it just ripped right through, and that's why you see those other pieces.
Anything you zoom out far enough, it looks like it's moving slow.
Yeah.
Those Starlink, like, you know, satellites, they're moving like a 1 mile an hour, dude. What are you like? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm just like.
And also the Hellfire missile, you could see it almost like tracks with the same speed. What a baloney.
But why would they present that in Congress as like,
yeah,
this is a declassified video. Maybe it's a whole PSYOP thing.
Yeah.
But like.
A weather balloon.
A weather balloon, Hank Green. Come
on. And
the
weather balloons come apart, and then the pieces also continue to travel in the same direction. Everyone
knows
that.
Why don't you write more about your old TB thing and explain that?
That's his brother.
I know. No, I didn't know that.
John Green is his brother.
Okay. Sorry, Hank.
Sorry, John.
Sorry, John.
Sorry, John. Yeah.
Yeah. Not Hank. Hank, what the heck?
What kind of name is Hank?
Tom but yeah, Hanks? So George Knapp also went on. He described a meeting with a that he had with a Russian physicist who revealed a working class plasma beam, quote, weapon of the aliens that Russia has, capable of burning a hole through a razor blade. Oh. According to Knapp, the Soviets clearly took UFO phenomena seriously and that many efforts were geared towards reverse engineering or building their own advanced versions of the observed technology. So he's saying he met with a Russian physicist. He said, we have reverse engineered some of the stuff. We have a plasma laser beam.
Tractor beam.
Weapon that apparently can just burn straight through a razor blade.
Razor burn.
That's which kind of a weird
I'm assuming,
item.
I'm assuming it's talking about how like.
Yeah, like the lengthways.
Yeah, or width or something.
Sure.
Not like the skinny through the part. Metal, but I think like it girth. Can penetrate that small of a...
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many stories of just the reverse engineering. It's got to be true. There has to be something.
Yeah.
We know that they're... And like Russia wouldn't be on the side of Americans if we just think it's like an American PSYOP thing. There's obviously something.
Yeah.
And well, all these people are trying to work on it, trying to get ahead of it so they can, you know, have all that power for themselves.
They just refuse to admit other world powers actually have figured something out. They're like, no, it's not American tech.
Yeah.
It's alien tech we're reverse engineering.
But that's even more terrifying. You have something more powerful than you out there that's just toying with us.
Yeah.
That's literally just looking at our nuclear codes and saying, hey, we know those. We know how to activate those. But we're not going to do anything. It's like warnings.
Yeah. What if it's something like all these major powerhouse or power whatever, these power countries.
Yeah.
Russia, China, US. Like we got to figure out what these UFOs are because it's not from Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, it's somewhere like the Bahamas and they're like, yo, we've had this figured out for a long time. All these UFOs you're seeing, that's our stuff.
They just accidentally figured out how to do it.
Yeah.
They did, we were just going like in a progressive line, but they just like found a cheat code.
Yeah.
That's the only thing they could do right though. But like, yeah. They're like, you know, like, yeah, we still have a lot of, we don't know how cars work. We're still using horse and buggies, but we know how these UFOs
we
work.
We know how to fly these things.
We created them.
It's Papua New Guinea.
Yeah,
they're just trying to keep people like, no, we're Stone Age.
Wait, is cannibalism the key?
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't tried it. Guys, we haven't tried it.
Speaking of cannibalism.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Pine Gap?
Pine Gap. No, I haven't.
Pine Gap.
What is Pine Gap?
Better known as the Australian Area 51.
Ooh. Everyone's got their own, I guess, right?
Pine Gap.
That is a fun name.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff around Pine Gap.
Where's it located?
Australia.
That's a whole continent.
And
country.
It is near Alice Springs, which is the Northern Territory of Australia.
Okay.
But what's weird, it's a joint effort between the United States and Australia. But basically, who runs Pine Gap is the CIA.
What?
The American CIA.
American CIA. Australia has, they only have a little say in what happens there just because it's in their country.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's run by the CIA, the NSA, and the NRO, which is the National Reconnaissance Office. And basically, they have said that it's a signal intelligence facility.
Okay.
To where, because it's like kind of remote in the bush in Australia. So they have clear skies to better view satellites, all that stuff. But people have reported for a long time that around Pine Gap,
yeah,
there's a lot of UFO activity.
Interesting. That's probably why they picked it, right?
That's the speculation. There's some weird source. It's very secretive.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same as Area 51 where you can't approach it. You're technically not allowed to take pictures of it.
What a good place to put something like that.
Yeah. There's a picture of it.
Like, no one's going to Australia to in the bush just to look for aliens.
Here we go. Just looks like a bunch of Epcot balls.
Oh, weird.
Is that what Epcot is?
It could be.
That's where Epcot balls are born. Those are baby Epcots.
But yeah, it's a lot of people claim that there's that's just the surface, but there's underground facilities and tunnels that make like basically a huge city under Pine Gap.
Yeah, you would have to.
Yeah. But some of the stories around Pine Gap, very close to Alice Springs, a lot of people report seeing strange lights in the sky moving silently and rapidly. And then there's this one account in the 1970s where these Aboriginal trackers, they saw something crash and they went to observe it. They're in the bush, these Aboriginal trackers. And they found this smooth metallic sphere partially embedded in sand emitting a low hum or vibration. This is in 1977.
Yeah.
The object was reportedly cool to the touch despite being in the desert heat, about the size of a basketball, perfectly symmetrical, seamless, and impossible to open. One of the men picked it up but said it felt strangely heavy for its size. And gave the sensation like it was pulling at his insides. Like some of those was
like a pull, like a magnet almost.
Yeah.
Ew.
The story also includes the orb started levitating slightly when placed on the ground. The men later approached the military personnel who confiscated it and warned them never to speak of it. One of the men became ill and disoriented afterward. And so, basically, if you ask them today, like, what's the story with the Aboriginal men finding the sphere next to Pine Gap?
Yeah.
They're like, that never happened.
Yeah. And so when was Pine Gap built? Sorry, because that's 1977. So yeah, I wonder if there was, like, activity around that area where that's what made them.
That's actually a great question. I have no idea.
Thanks.
Andrew, can you look up when Pine Gap was founded?
Yep. They do have photos of the underground, too.
Oh, do they? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not so
just
secretive.
Like, well, it's not what's in there, but just like basically like cavernous. Like there's like nothing weird that they're showing.
Oh, okay. But yeah, there's people that report all kinds of weird craft around Pine Gap, like large triangular craft, glowing lights everywhere. But there's this one story.
I've got it.
When was it?
1966. It was established as a result of a treaty between Australia and the U.S. to establish a joint satellite surveillance base during the Cold War.
Cold War.
It was presented to the public as a space research facility. Its true initial purpose was to monitor Soviet missile tests and intercept signals, intelligence, or SIGINT, became a crucial ground control station for the U.S. intelligence satellites in 1970.
Crazy. That's crazy. I think that's wild to me that, like, just how that works, like, especially if the CIA is involved, like, if that's American agency, to have land and ownership and, like, be able to run a completely, like, huge corporation and business or whatever they want to call it, like, just a facility, all the way across the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the stuff that must happen there, we think Area 51's a problem. Guess what? Like, that's, no Americans are doing anything about that. They're not sneaking in there.
That is weird, though. It was in the 60s, though. I guess maybe, maybe not. But, like, there weren't a lot of satellites in the 60s.
I'll look into that.
You had, like, Sputnik, which was it late 50s or early 60s?
57, history changed on October 4th when the Soviet Union successfully launched Sputnik.
Sputnik! What a fun name.
Sputnik?
Yeah.
Dude, it was so small.
Sputnik.
Oh, yeah, it's like this big. Isn't
the
it?
Size of a beach ball and weighed 183.9 pounds.
It looks like a little kid made it, too.
Interesting. A spherical ball that's a lot heavier than it looks.
Mm.
If that was some type of alien satellite. I mean, that's literally what you described, like a basketball shaped.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So we got our first satellite from the aliens.
We're trying to duplicate it.
Interesting.
Possibly.
Thank you, guys.
Andy.
Thanks, guys.
So good.
Thank you.
But this one doesn't directly connect to Pontiac, but there is a crazy.
I'm just imagining the highlight, like when we're telling a story, when Luca has to cut this up. Every time you're like, "This is what happened at
Pine Gap."
Like, just, there's always
just say it a couple times. Normal is if we need to use it.
Pine Gap.
Whoa.
Pine Gap.
Pine Gap.
Pine Gap.
Pine Gap.
Pine Gap. This occurred in 1988, and this was in like southern Australia. But they're saying there could be a connection to Pine Gap with like. How the military question, whatever. The Knowles family UFO encounter in Australia.
Beyonce?
Nope. Her name is Faye.
Beyonce. Jay-Z is an alien name, by the way.
Faye as in hybrid.
Ooh.
Jay-Z, E-T, two letter name.
Everyone shut up! 1988.
Got it out.
Wait, tell the story. The Knowles family, mother Faye, her sons Patrick, Sean, and Wayne, and their two dogs were driving from Perth to Melbourne, when they had a harrowing encounter with a unidentified flying object that allegedly. Let me skip that part. So around 4 a.m., they're driving and they saw a bright light ahead. And they were approaching this bright light, and all of a sudden this light hovered above their vehicle. And then when it hovered above their vehicle, freaked them out, so they just started driving as fast as they could. And this thing just stayed above their car. And they said that it was vibrating their car, and they said there was a frequency that was like penetrating in the car. They said it was like they could feel it in their heads.
Oh, my goodness.
And then all of a sudden this light above them picked up the car like a magnet. Boom.
While it's driving.
And it lifted it off the ground. Steering became uncontrollable. Faye claimed that they were telepathically communicated with, a feeling of presence trying to get inside of their minds.
Oh, boy.
The air inside the car became thick with a strange black dust. Then their voices became distorted, sounding like slowed down or mechanical. She said it felt like we were going to be taken. The whole car was vibrating and making a horrible sound. And then this thing just threw the car off the side of the road. And they were able to drive afterwards.
Yeah.
But their car, like their roof was dented in, there were scratches all up on the top and along the sides. They immediately drove to the police department and reported it. And basically they were dismissed.
Like you've had a drink.
Ah, yeah. Maybe use a shiny light talking to you, huh?
Lock him up. It was a whole family.
A whole family.
So you have all this whole family's telling you this eyewitness story.
Yeah, and they even said afterwards, remnants of that black dust was all in the car.
Wow. Weird. They never got tested, I'm assuming.
I don't know. But also, multiple truck drivers in the air also reported seeing strange lights in the sky that night.
Weird.
Yeah. But it remains one of the most credible and dramatic UFO close encounter cases in the Southern Hemisphere.
Crazy.
Yeah, just because of the actual physical evidence.
Physical
of,
evidence.
Of matching their story.
Yeah, all the people in the car. Like, I mean, you're having kids, I'm assuming, in there, too, and they're all saying this exact same thing.
Yeah.
That's wild, man. Well, crazy. I can't, can you imagine the insurance claim?
Yeah.
Like, it's,
I'm sorry, did you sign?
Flying, floating light.
A light picked you up.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
There's no north and south hemispheres, dude.
All flat, baby.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. But
that's wild. Crazy I love stuff. That. Dude, that's what I'm saying. There's so many UFO stories all across the world. We don't have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that's crazy. I could just literally picture that. That's so scary.
Dude, I got a story.
Ooh.
You ready for this?
Hit me.
Bermuda Triangle, 1945. So this starts out. This is right out of Fort Lauderdale. Five bombers. Takeoff routine. They're going to do this triangle, not Bermuda Triangle. They're going to fly this triangle over the Atlantic. They depart. Super normal stuff. They come back, and then one of the guys reports, he's like, hey, I'm losing my compasses. Like, starts getting weird electrical issues with the planes. And then he says, this is the quote, he says, both my compasses are out. I don't know where we are. The ocean doesn't look right. And they can't, like, get direct communication with them. But remember, there are five planes, five pilots. And so they keep going. They're trying to get in contact. And then the last words, the last thing they got out of these people is, when the first plane drops below 10 gallons, we all go down together. Oh. So the pilots, now they're listening to the pilots talking to, like, with each other. Can't figure out what's going on. Can't establish communications. That's the last thing that ever gets sent out. And these planes have a history of, like, having electrical issues. They have some name. They're called, like, fuel tanks or something like that, because there were issues with these planes blowing up off of fuel fumes. So they were like, sometimes these planes had problems, and it's typically these issues with the planes. But normally they know, like, it blew up here, or there was, like, the person was like, hey, my plane's about to blow. You know what I mean? Like, there's, like, something gets fired off. So anyways, they launch a rescue plane with 13 more crewmen. Went in the sky to search for them, and within minutes, out of Fort Lauderdale, it too vanished.
Within minutes?
Within minutes.
The one with the 30 people in it?
13.
13.
But, yeah.
What?
No. There's rumored to be a ship that reported a fireball over the water, but no wreckage ever found, and they have never found any remnants, nothing to allude to what happened. Oh. And so they chalked it up for years as, hey, these planes had problems, but they started saying it was pilot error. But here's the problem. You have a total of six pilots minimum,
yeah,
with six different craft that went out. So how is it the pilot's fault if you have that many pilots? You can't say it was the electrical issues.
So all six planes disappeared, then the rescue all
five disappeared, and then the sixth rescue plane also within minutes disappeared. No trace. And they have recounted, they've been like, they say that they backed off of it being a pilot error because they're trying to preserve the reputation of the lead pilot, sure, and his family. But it's like, that's a pretty harsh accusation to make, which makes no sense with that many pilots experiencing the same thing.
Also, weird coincidence. All six just go missing.
All six. So it's Flight 19. And it's become one of the cornerstone cases in the Bermuda Triangle. That's where it went missing.
Weird.
And so they never found anything. Some people say it was swallowed by the sea. 27 men total disappeared. And this was December in 1945. Okay, my notes are kind of all over the place. But yeah, the line, I don't know where we are, the compasses aren't right, the ocean doesn't look right. But how on earth are that many planes having, like, I mean, let's say the four of us went on a road trip and my GPS hit the fan and I'm like, hey guys, where are you going? Like, the exit's right. You know what I mean? Like, we're having conversation.
Yeah.
So there's no way all of them suddenly. So there was something that threw them all. Cause if one dude's went down, someone else, I'm sure, in that convoy goes, yeah, mine, we're fine. Just stay in formation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
so they don't know.
That's
crazy. They literally don't know what happened.
Sure, the Bermuda Triangle's got to have something to it.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
What if there's something in the water?
Yeah, well, there's
like, what if that's the frequency thing?
We've talked about it before. What's the
Bouvet?
No, the military base in the Bahamas. What is that called again?
I can't remember.
Oh yeah,
our buddy was stationed there.
I don't remember what it was.
Not APEC.
I wouldn't.
It's so funny. All of our recalls don't recall. There's so many podcasts of people out there. They're like saying, drop this. And it's like,
that's why we got to get Jesse Michaels on here.
Yeah.
His recall is like insane.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That's scary.
That's so scary. The Bermuda Triangle really freaks me out.
Such a mystery.
It's got
to
be the water. It's got to be something in that area.
I think it's got to do with like ley lines and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, who was it that had the, Luca was helping me do some research. There was someone's theory, physics theory. Was it Einstein? It was Einstein. So someone used like his theory of like space time and like having to do with kind of like ley lines and like electric places, but there's some like weird theory that it's possible that basically people based on a position would be slipping through essentially a time portal. And so the theory is that the reason you never found anything is they literally were in formation in a spot at a time a portal opened, unknowingly passed into a different.
That was an Einstein theory?
He didn't say it about it,
but
people have taken his theoretical physics or whatever it is and applied it to how is this happening in a single location. And time proximity is interesting that like people have flown all over the Bermuda Triangle and been fine. So the whole time thing is interesting that at one specific instance, five go missing and then the person going to look for them also slips through something or disappears into nowhere.
There's got
to
be a common denominator like of all those those cases that something adds up.
I know we probably won't care, but I really hope that one day when we're in heaven, we can just ask all these questions.
Yeah.
I think we'll just have the knowledge, right? I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You have an eternity to learn stuff. So.
That's true. Dude, that'd be so fun. Maybe it'll be like one of those things where we just go up and be able to touch a book and be able to consume that knowledge.
Dude, dope.
Yeah. I'm going to be able to eat whatever I want. That would you rather is going to come true.
No, I know.
It's gonna be real. Perfect.
For real. I don't know if they're going to have Baja Blast in heaven, but maybe a fruit that tastes like Baja Blast.
I sure hope they do. I sure hope they do. I don't understand because it was made there, so I don't understand why they wouldn't have it after.
I'm sure the guy that made Taco Bell is a saint.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to be. Can we just start having American saints?
I don't want to say it because I don't even know who this guy is. He's probably a terrible person.
Wait, Adolf Hitler created Taco Bell?
Oh, no! Oh, yeah.
Spooky, spooky.
Spooky, spooky. I've been reading I talked about it on the live a little bit, but that Soul After Death, which it wasn't Andrew's buddy that does the hunting.
Jacob Patek.
Again, recall. On point. It was a guy, Patrick, I believe. Ryan from...
Close.
Ryan from Patreon. He's the one that suggested it. But yeah, I've been reading it and it is scaring me.
What's it about?
Your soul after death.
Yeah.
Orthodox is what they propose happens to you after death.
Yeah. From like old fathers and saints that have written about it.
Telling me a little bit about this, right?
But yeah. And it kind of goes with some of the theories we've talked about with like DMT and all that stuff, that realm in between, you know?
Near death experiences too that confirm stuff like that.
Yeah. And Father Josiah said on Tucker that when someone dies, they pray for their soul.
Mm-hmm.
And for Protestants, that's like, that's weird, right?
Yeah.
But this is goes back tradition-wise. I mean, like, not, this is what they believe in, or to the early Christians, early church. And they believe that basically, I'm probably going to butcher it, so I apologize. But when you die, your soul is now in this place to where you're not in heaven yet. It's the journey to getting to the presence of God. And typically you're accompanied, if you're a believer, you're accompanied by angels to get you there.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that is because in between here, your body, and the dwelling place of God, there are demons that are trying to get you.
Cool. Fun.
And they will, but they like, these stories and these accounts from these early fathers and stuff, these demons, they're accusing you of every sin you've ever committed, saying that you are not worthy. And these angels are fighting on your behalf, basically holding on to you, your soul, fighting their way to the presence of God.
Goodness gracious.
And they're saying that's just for like your typical believer that is, you know, going to heaven. But they're saying like saints who live this life of just like repentance and like they were so pure, you know, like holy saints.
Yeah.
That when they die, it's like these demons don't even have a chance. It just goes and like they're just straight up.
Man.
And it's like they like legions of angels come and just like usher them in.
Yeah. So like and what's if it's an, is it an inevitable thing that you're reaching, you're fulfilling that journey, or is there like how do they describe that? Because like what's the point of fighting off if it's a done deal?
Well, you gave an example of like a demon being like, he sinned here and like a memory or something, and then the angel is like, he repented.
Yeah.
You know, so just
that's human merit though. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But it's like this, it's this repentance, but it also, it's like, I mean, it goes, it's really playing with my theology of this ongoing salvation, right? Yeah. This, and how Paul talks about work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Like it's not a once saved, always saved. It's like, it's, you are actively repenting.
A choice and, every
and like,
day.
So like how he says, like the blood of Christ covers your sins. So why do you keep on going on and sinning?
Yeah.
And how many times it talks about like idolaters, drunkards, blah, 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 blah. Like they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I don't know. It just, and then you hear verses like when they're separating the sheep and the goats, and these people are saying, well, didn't we do this? Didn't we heal in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name?
Perform miracles.
He says, depart from me. I never knew you.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, Judas is a perfect example now, right?
Yeah. It's a journey I'm on.
It's
That's a heavy journey. Yeah, yeah. It's a lot. And that's the biggest thing we have to ask ourselves. Yeah, we believe in Jesus, but even the demons believe, sure. So that's not enough. And it talks about being lukewarm and like, are we truly committed to Christ and his calling for us? And
yeah.
And denying Christ, your flesh, denying your feelings. Because you feel a certain way does not make it right. And so it's that constant choice to deny your flesh. If you are, you have to ask yourself, literally, what would Jesus do in this situation? Am I going to fall into sin? Am I going to, you know, become lazy? Am I going to, you know, just go through life apathetically? Like, it's just, it's so heavy.
Yeah, pick up your cross every day.
Do you believe in total depravity?
What do you mean?
Like, the human condition by default is completely depraved. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is no good within me.
Yeah, I guess.
I believe that our physiology from the fall is literally to sin. We are sinners. Right. I mean, like, think about, like, even just, like, the example of childbirth. Like, childbirth being painful is a physiological example of the fall.
Yeah.
But Josh and I were working this out, too. It is possible through sanctification to be absolved, to not sin. However, our physiology is to sin. We are sinners.
Yeah.
We are tempted.
Like temptation doesn't go away, but like you can stop sinning.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make you a
through
perfect
discipline.
Person because you live in a sinful world. You struggle with temptations, but you can stop sinning.
Yeah.
My question,
Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Yeah.
We strive for that every day.
My question would then be, if you're working out your faith with fear and trembling and repentance ongoing is how salvation is ongoing, by what then within your fallenness rises up to repent if you yourself are entirely dead in sin?
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit.
Which it would then be an act of grace and grace alone, not the merit of oneself doing the repenting.
Sure, but it's a reaction to receiving that gift. I want to love. I want to listen. I want to obey simply because of this gift, because I know my Creator and what he says about me. It's like, how else would I react? Deny that? Of course not. Like, how could I? Because he's done this. He's created this. I've been given this. It just becomes obvious.
No, I agree. I mean, this is where I believe the sovereignty of God and his action in the forefront is the prompting by which the depravity of man is overcome.
Yeah, and I also want to be careful. I am in no way saying that, because when you hear this stuff, you're like, then what's the purpose of Christ dying on the cross?
Mm-hmm.
Because those sins that you have committed, they do need a sacrifice. Like, there needs to be blood spilt for those sins.
Someone has to pay that fine.
And Christ did that. Mm-hmm. So that washes away these sins. So don't go on, keep sinning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Repent, repent, repent.
Yeah. Do we continue to sin so that grace may increase?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
By no means.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's.
So without Christ's death, there's no way to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Agreed.
It's not your own doing. It is understanding that there was a sacrifice. Now your doing is no longer sinning and repenting and this ongoing sanctification.
Yeah. And if I were to marry my wife and say that I love her, but every action showed opposite, I wasn't faithful, I was hateful, all these things, my actions would prove that I don't truly love.
Yeah.
And have committed to this.
Exactly.
And so it's the same thing where it's like, you got to trust that Jesus is going to transform your heart. If you truly offer yourself as a living sacrifice, God's going to renew that mind. And he's going to push you closer to him, and he's going to work through you, because our job is a lot bigger than us chasing our own dreams and right. our desires.
And I think in Protestantism, something that's missing a lot, though, too, is like true. Christ died and that for our sins, and that is what accomplished this. This grace is what accomplishes it. But there are actions all throughout the New Testament that Jesus challenges us to, right? He says, take this in remembrance of me. Take it. Don't take it when you feel like it. You know, take this in remembrance of me. Go out and make disciples of all nations. These are actions, right? Mm-hmm. And in James, it says, faith without works is dead, right? And the fruit of our faith is how people will know that we are believers. So there is an action interchanging here, right?
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is that what we were talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Way off, should have just way said off, no.
What are you talking about? Willie,
really, no.
Women are crazy.
Are
right?
Why are we in James right now?
No, it's been a really cool process yeah. of just learning, because it's like, I don't know, it's just kind of connecting dots. Because, I mean, I'm totally skipping ahead in my brain. Studying the early church in the Desert Fathers and the saints and stuff, it's just connecting a lot of dots and humanizing what it means to follow Christ to me. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty cool. It's yeah. pretty cool experience.
Having examples.
And
but fighting off demons after you die is scary.
Yes, it is indeed. We've just figured that out.
And that's what Josh and I are making a Google Doc for when we have an opportunity to grill an Orthodox priest.
Nice. Grill, ask questions.
Yeah, we okay, yeah. That.
Roast them.
But like a lot of the stuff I just want to understand. Like there's a faith element here where you have to say, okay, so the earliest members of our church believed this to be true. How did they arrive here? You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And it talks about, like, in Paul's letters to Timothy, it's like, teach what I have said to you. And there are inferences that we might not see this in scripture, right? So Timothy talks to whatever church he's, I think it's Thessalonica, and he's talking about something that Paul had told, or no, I'm wrong. Paul was talking about something that Christ had said, but of course Paul wasn't there with Christ.
Yeah.
So not having seen what Christ had said in the Gospels, there's an inference that there was an exchange of information that did not get into the Gospels, mm-hmm. right? That mm-hmm. was law. You yeah. know, this is what was something that was commanded. And so you're going, is there a possibility that tradition has weight and merit amongst the church? And
yeah.
it talks about, like, the gates of hell cannot stand against the church, right? Mm-hmm. Yet. In Protestantism, we've got thousands of different denominations. If we all sat in a room and we read the Bible, we would all come up with a different understanding of some passages, right?
Yeah.
Are we meant to understand it through the lens of our earliest Christians? You know what I'm saying? It's meaningful to me. It yeah. means something. And then also the divorce in Protestantism from our history, from these people of the faith that did heroic things, it enriches a Christian's life, does it not?
Yeah.
Of course, not worshiping. Yeah, yeah. We're not worshiping these examples. We're just no. like what Josh was saying. It's like it's enriching me because now I've seen an example of how someone lived out their faith in this heroic way.
How Christ worked through them and they submitted to that.
Yeah.
That will of God that led them to terrible things and to terrible places, but yet they stayed faithful. It's like, yeah, I want to see that practically. I love Jesus.
Yeah.
But it's Jesus that's working through them. And
exactly.
so it's like you have a taste of what Jesus is doing and what he was like on earth, and we can follow that
literally. And I feel like, and this is just my experience of church in the West, is that we're so divorced from our history we're so divorced from each other. It's all about how I feel about my experience, you know, and how I'm experiencing the church. And I could be called a hypocrite, right? Because Josh and I are not fantastic about plugging into our churches that we're in, you know? But it's like, there's so much division. What is the church in the West? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And I think I'll make an argument that almost seems like I'm flipping a side, if I even am on a side, but like Protestantism, or we'll just say the evangelical world that most of us have typically been affiliated with.
Yeah.
We'll look at early church tradition and be like, in scripture alone, scripture is enough. We'll say things like that. We don't need these extra biblical accounts. However, Christian bookstores will sell everyone's stories of things going on. Yeah. And it's like, well, now we just value whoever's in front of us from our small group more than those who have stood the test of history.
Yes. Yeah.
And now I'm not advocating for either. You know, like if you do believe scriptures alone, mm-hmm. all I'm challenging is be careful that you're not saying, well, this church father from way back when, we should shut that up. But I'm going to get this like new 20-year-old whoever who's speaking at conferences and elevate the yeah. last 6 months of their life and say that this is now the person I follow. And I'm like, yeah. well, that's probably more dangerous than somebody yeah. who no, stood the it. Test
well,
of
that's
time.
Well, that's the kind of the ironic thing about the Protestant church, which we are all Protestant. But
speak for yourself.
Are we agreeing? Everyone's agreeing no. we're converting to Orthodoxy?
No, Andy's Mormon.
On three. One, two, three. What'd you say?
Andy's Mormon.
Yeah.
But the ironic thing is that for, I would say, Martin Luther with the Reformation and stuff, it was done with really good intentions because the Catholic Church at that time was
silly,
getting out of hand. You know, with the penance of like
indulgences,
you can, everything.
Penance, yeah. Papal infallibility, all that stuff.
And so, but through his movement, with the Protestant movement, go on a couple hundred years, it became so anti-Catholic that they're like, we want nothing to do with these old traditions because it just reeks of Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And then in turn, the Protestant movement, we've made our own traditions.
Yeah.
That are outside of the history of the church traditions.
And in turn that, we build our own Pharisees.
Right.
Pharisee culture.
Yeah. So it's like, you can't, human, it's, history repeats itself.
Yeah.
You're not going to get away from something and never do it again. Like, it's going to repeat and repeat and repeat.
Flesh has just integrated its way into the gospels and the way we do things. And we just need to fight that. And it's like, for me, it's as simple as, look at the way Jesus lived and live how he lived.
Yeah.
The disciplines that he did, go and do it.
And if you
and
think,
I fail every day, but golly, bad. I try.
My bad.
You're good.
No, I was going to say, if you think that your church isn't adhering to new traditions, try being a family pastor who suggests that doing the same VBS that every church on the corner does is maybe not the best use of a church's resources. I promise you, you'll get chased out of that place.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah.
So anyways, that's really cool that we're all just joining the Eastern Orthodox
Mormon
Church.
Mormon Church. Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Mormon Church.
Jehovah's
I
Witness.
Just watched that documentary last night. The third part, yeah.
Everyone needs to go watch Johnny Harris. He's an investigative journalist. I know we have a lot of Mormon listeners.
And we love you.
And we love you.
We're praying for you.
I used to date one.
Watch it.
It was a very insightful video to the Mormon Church.
Factual. It's
he used to be a Mormon missionary.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he was raised in it, went on a mission and laid out nothing but facts from the materials given by the church. And so it was just, I learned a lot.
Yeah.
And now I can't wait to have discussions the next time I run into those white shirts.
What was interesting about Father, I read Father Josiah's book called Rock and Sand, and it was pinning Protestantism against Orthodoxy and values and stuff like that. And it was like reading a textbook. It was really dense. And he went so far as to say, I mean, he's like, Protestants all the time will criticize Mormonism, but we see you no different. Dang. Okay.
Ouch.
Ow. And they're like, it's comical for us to witness this because you're like, it's so recent. It's all these things. They're missing this. And it's like, we know.
Orthodox like,
this
we've
is
been
familiar.
Telling you for 2,000 years.
Please look in a mirror.
But speaking of the Catholic Church, I do have some things I need to talk about regarding the Vatican on patreon.com/ninjas or butterflies.
Jelly Roll's the new Pope?
What?
Also on YouTube membership for Ninja Elite, you get the additional episode. Very fun.
Early access to episodes. On Patreon, you get discounts on merch, a private Discord. It's a ton of fun. We have dropped vlogs. We've dropped movie nights. It's an absolute blast. But if you want some ninja merch, go to SundayCoolSwag.com. We're going to be dropping some new merch this fall. It's going to be hot. It's going to be cold. It's going to be delicious.
Mm.
Nice.
And yeah, we got some fun.
And aren't you, didn't you have so much fun last night at the first show of Florida Torta?
It was an amazing time.
Describe what happened.
Well, first off, I wasn't anxious at all.
Yeah.
I was so excited to be there.
Who showed up?
Oh my gosh, don't even get me started. Jacksonville?
In Jacksonville last night that we totally remember.
Oh man, I don't want to like.
It's like, shocking they were there.
I wasn't, was it them though?
Yeah, I think it was them.
Sitting in the back?
It was them.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah. So we had a ton of fun. We got a laugh with all of our friends. So if you're in Tampa and Orlando, guess what? Next week, we're going to be in Tampa. The week after that in Orlando on Thursday, the 9th and the 16th, only $25 a ticket. No money back guarantees. I promise you're going to have fun no matter what, though. Okay? And we have exclusive merch that we're going to be selling there on the spot. You can take pictures with us, hug us, kiss Josh as much as you want. It's going to be great.
Yes.
Yep.
It was Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes. And her posse.
Yeah.
All right, guys. What are you doing here?
Love you.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Next episode. Dolphins are aliens. Oh, dang it. Let's do face thumbnails and do the flying cow shout out. And
we can do a flying cow shout out right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it never ended.
Yes, Flying Cow. We just want to give a shout out. We are not sponsored by this company at all, but flyingcowtallow.com. I think that's the website. What was the
Ninja 15?
Ninja 15. Or Ninja's 15. Either way, you get a 15% discount off your order. But we use their stuff for beard care, skin care. It's literally the best stuff in the world.
Literally.
They're not telling us to say this.
This is not a sponsor. I use Flying Cow product every single day.
A lot of people ask me, like, what do you do for your beard? Literally Flying Cow. That's it.
Look at my face. Look how youthful it is.
Yes. I can't believe you're 14 years old.
Go back.
You should make my face like the handsome Squidward.
I'm just going to do like a baby filter.
Also, quick shout out to Adam Sardoni. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday. We love you. Sardoni. Thanks for watching. Sardoni. She said it's a like sardine and pepperoni.
Oh, nice.
Sardoni. You got a great wife. She emailed us and she asked us to shout you out. So
happy birthday, Adam.
Yes, we love you.
All right, that's it. Bye-bye.
Dolphin. What you're about to see may disturb you.
Vominos!
If any of you know what these
multi-decade UAP
dolphins
are
aliens,
he's gonna have a heart attack when he's here. I'm fucking...
Bottlenose.
Fish sticks.
There's a massive police response.
Oh, the dolphin thing?
Oh, my God.
So, dolphin style attack!
I set my wife down and I looked her in the eyes and I held her hands tightly and I looked at her and asked her,
you ever fart?
At this moment, I knew something was wrong because she squeezed my hand. She looked at me with tears in her eyes, and she said the word.
Ah,
no.
Right,